When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile's network can help keep you connected to all your favorite podcasts when you're out and about. Whether you're an early bird looking to dive into a daily news podcast or a night owl who wants to catch up on the latest reality TV drama, T-Mobile will keep you connected on their strong and reliable network. T-Mobile covers more highway miles with 5G than anyone. So if you need great coverage, especially when you're on the go, check out T-Mobile. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/CY. That's SEEWHY.
It was a productive one on my end, but also some fun mixed in. If you haven't seen my Twitter, A-Law Radio, a picture of what Jay and I were doing on Saturday night. It was a new experience, and it was so much fun. And then you can find that on our Facebook page, too. Right, Jay? You can find that on our Facebook page as well. He posted it there, too, after hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Love to hear from you. We're trying to catch up on everything that happened on the weekend. But Sunday was another one of those days in which the Miami Heat refuse to relinquish the spotlight or the narrative. They have captured the headlines in these NBA playoffs as the first 8 seed to do this and the first 8 seed to do that. And you know what? They're not alone. The Panthers in the NHL are doing the exact same thing.
Game 3 of the 2023 Eastern Conference Final belongs to the Heat. Largest margin of victory of this postseason for Miami as they win by 26 and improve, just like their counterparts over in the West, to 3-0 in this Eastern Conference Final.
Off the draw, Panthers have Reinhardt, near point Montour, down here on the near side, sweeps it around, far boards, Burns, pressured over there by Sam Bennett. Bennett's got the puck. Bennett into the right circle, out in front, Reinhardt, backdoor, and they score! And it's Matthew Tkachuk, the overtime winner! And the Panthers take game two! They lead two games to none! It only took a minute and 51 seconds! A power play goal in overtime! The Panthers win it 2-1! Matthew Tkachuk again ends it!
Wowzers. Matthew Tkachuk with a pair of overtime goals. Now, this one did not take four overtimes for the Florida Panthers, but on their radio network, they're up 2-0. The Heat are now one win away from being in the NBA Finals for the first time in a long time. So it is hot to trot for sports fans in South Florida right now, as you hear with Jason Jackson on the Heat Radio Network as well. We're pleased to welcome Dave Hyde, who joins us following what's been a pretty exhausting run for him, too, as a columnist for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Right, let's start with this question. Just an easy one, a softball, if you will, Dave. What's the more unlikely, unbelievable run? Is it the Miami Heat or is it the Florida Panthers?
I'm speechless on that because nobody in South Florida saw any of this coming when, you know, the Heat had to go to the second play-in game and they're down 3 points to Chicago in the last 3 minutes. And all of a sudden, here they are just running Boston off the court. And then you go from Miami to Broward and you got the Florida Panthers, who didn't make the playoffs till the second last to last game of the season. And here they are, running the best two teams in the East off in Boston and Toronto, and now they're up 2-0 in Carolina. Take your pick, chocolate or vanilla. It's both of them are shocking down here for us.
I got to imagine that it's some pretty tense but also joyful moments for South Florida, really Florida sports fans, because every other night it's either the Panthers or it's the Heat. And wow, right now both teams sitting in pretty good positions when we're talking about championship series.
Yeah, for the last 20 years, the Heat had the big three, and they won three titles. So here's what I've written. It's like the movie Twins with Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger. The Heat or Schwarzenegger. They look the part. Okay, yeah, this is a little shocking, but yeah, they've been in seven of the last 13 Eastern Conference Finals. So, you know, we've seen this before. Panthers are Danny DeVito. They've not been this far since 96, for sure.
Wow.
And they've been just a disaster of a franchise, really. And now you see Jimmy Butler and Matthew Tkachuk are almost the same person. You know, the fire, the top of their game, and they're just carrying their teams on some level at this point in their seasons.
Even though they do have the personnel that make them a tough out, the Heat to come through the play-in tournament, as you point out, they were on the ropes. Then they have to face Milwaukee, which is the top team in the NBA. They make quick work of the Bucks. But knowing what you know about this team, what makes them so clutch? What makes them so mentally tough? What makes them so impressive when their backs are against the wall, Dave?
Yeah, I hate to... In fact, I'm writing a column about this for tomorrow, the Heat culture. And they lead the league in the playoffs in things like deflections on defense and screen assists and all these categories. Look, ESPN analytics gave the Heat a 3% chance of winning the series. But there's all these bizarre stats out there that the Heat believe in that have somehow come into play this year. The undrafted players, Gabe Vincent had 29 points Sunday night in Game 3, and Duncan Robinson had 22, and Caleb Martin had 18, and Jimmy Butler had 16 points. It was a rare night where Jimmy Butler is the fourth leading scorer on the team. But, the developed roster they have and the way they – you know, look, Butler's a star. Everybody knows it. And they built this cast around him. You know, the fact that it's morphed together just in the playoffs is shocking. But you see what's at work here.
Dave Hyde is with us from the South Florida Sun Sentinel, trying to juggle both hoops and hockey with the Panthers and the Heat still alive in the Eastern Conference Finals. Not just alive, but sitting in really good spots. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So, Dave, I've talked to people about Jimmy Butler. Certainly, he demands so much of the attention, but I would love to ask you about Bam Adebayo. And as a kind of second star, maybe not a superstar, but a guy who will do whatever it takes to win, and a headache in terms of matchups so far in this playoffs, what's the most impressive thing about him as a player?
Well, you saw tonight that, you know, he can do so many different things in Game 3, in this whole series. You know, the scoring on his good nights, it's always there. I think he had three dunks off of passes inside to him. But the defense is always there where he's matched up. You know, he can go against Tatum as he has times. He can go against big men of Boston as he has much of the time. He's very versatile in that regard, and that's what Spoelstra loves. There's a point the last series. It's all blending together. I'm not sure. I think it was against the Knicks, where their point guards, Kyle Lowry, had fouled out, and Adebayo had like four assists in the last 6 minutes of the fourth quarter, and to Jimmy Butler inside. And so the versatility of Adebayo is something that you almost have to watch night in and night out to understand how the Heat use them.
Mentioned the undrafted players, the role players. They're also missing a couple of guys. So how would you describe the group that they're playing with right now around Butler and Adebayo?
What they do is they take these guys who are hungry and have talent, and Spoelstra's great at recognizing what players can do and dismissing what they can't do and play into that regard. You know, Caleb Martin, I was talking to him last week, and he said, at the very start, when he came in here, he was waived by Charlotte. He needed a call from one of his friends, a rapper, to Caron Butler, a Heat assistant, to get a tryout with the Heat, basically. And he comes in here and he said Spoelstra watched him play, and he said, okay, I'm going to be the chief complaint officer in watching your game, and I'm going to tell you how, you know, steps on defense, why you're misplaced here, so get used to it. And so he tore apart his game and built it back up. And look, Caleb Martin had the mindset and the hungry attitude to say, okay, I'm going to work hard and accept it. And now you're seeing, you know, what the last game, I think he had 29 points, a career high for the playoffs. Tonight he had 18 points. His defense is there. So what they do is they find these guys who have talent and recognize the talent, but they also have this incredible work ethic that, that a lot of times guys who are drafted high or expect things out of contracts or whatever, you know, might not have. And that's what they're very good at recognizing and developing.
Certainly does start with the scouting department and the coaching, but also the guys who buy into, as you point out, the culture and the desire to win, regardless of what their roles might be. Dave Hyde is with us from South Florida. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, I got to ask you about this moment with Eric Spoelstra. It's late third quarter, the Heat are up by 30-something, and he calls a timeout. What does that tell you about the head coach of the Heat, Dave?
The more impressive part about that, Amy, I'm not sure if it was that timeout, but they were up midway through the third quarter, into the fourth quarter. They're up anywhere from 20 to 30 points. They come out of a timeout, and they run a play for Corey Zeller. Are you kidding? You know, Mike McDaniel was there, the Dolphins coach. He should have run on the court and thrown a flag for taunting 15 yards. They're running a play for Corey Zeller. I mean, that told you that, you know, it was like that was like a – The ultimate taunt at Boston that we're running plays for Corey Zeller.
For people who aren't following Zeller, he played 18 minutes, had 4 rebounds, 4 points, and a couple of blocked shots. So filled up a stat sheet, too. How about that? As you're watching this game play out, even the early stages, I know they were up by 15 at halftime, but the early stages, where did you see the disparity between how the Celtics were playing? And I don't mean actual basketball. I mean more the mental side of it, the approach, versus how the Heat were playing.
Yeah, I was surprised because I thought usually in these games, the team down 2-0 is desperate. And, you know, look, Boston is so talented. I mean, they have talent across the board. And I thought they would come out and throw haymakers at the Heat, and we'll see how the Heat withstand it. Right from the start, it was the Heat that came out throwing haymakers. You know, I just went through, heard all the interviews with the Boston players, and just listening to them, they were dispirited from the start. Joe Mazzulla, the coach, said we lost our identity on defense. I mean, down 3-0 in a series. It'll be interesting to see what Boston has left right now. This is a tough game to get. If you're down 3-0 to close it out right away. But the way Boston was talking, it'll be interesting to see what they have left.
Does Udonis Haslem need to get into a game?
That would be even more taunting than Corey Zeller play after a timeout. You know, it was the crowd's chanting, "We want Haslem." You know, he's retiring after this year, after, what, 20 years. You could see Spoelstra coyly look down the bench at Haslem, who wanted no part of it. He didn't want to go in. He didn't want to be the, you know, I didn't talk to him, but I looked at him on the bench, and he it looked like he was saying, no, I don't want to go in. He didn't want to be fodder for more taunting of Boston. So in game 4, I think he'd get in.
Especially if it's something like this, my goodness, the fans would riot if they didn't see Udonis on the court.
Right.
Dave, before I let you go, I was looking through your Twitter. I know you're covering the Panthers too, and you made the analogy of Matthew Tkachuk and Sergei Bobrovsky. They are fire and ice. What does that mean as the Panthers have won both their games in overtime?
Yeah, well, look, Bobrovsky has come almost out of nowhere for the, you know, for the last couple of years, they've come up with these guys to replace him, including this year Alex Lyon from basically the minor leagues, and he got hot and they rode him into the playoffs. But you look at who's been the star for the Panthers; it's Matthew Tkachuk, and Bobrovsky's been stopped. I think it is 100 of his last 103 shots in this series against Carolina. So you look at who rises in the playoffs, and Bobrovsky has for the Panthers. Jimmy Butler has for the Heat. He went needed in the game 3 on Sunday, but he's been the star that's carried this team throughout. So seeing South Florida right now, on alternating nights, you got the Heat and the Panthers, everybody's winning. It's almost like I'm in some fantasy world because, again, for the last two decades, only the Heat have won down here. And now, you know, the Panthers have joined them. We had Florida Atlantic and the University of Miami in the Final Four.
Yes.
We are like a fantasy land of surprises right now.
I'm really impressed that the Panthers, as well as their fans, were able to recover like they were from that four overtime game. It ended minutes before we went on the air at After Hours, and so we were watching the whole thing, and it was pretty incredible. Awesome to catch up with Dave Hyde, who is with us from the South Florida Sun Sentinel, and you can find him on Twitter at Dave Hyde, H-Y-D-E, sports. You're not getting much sleep these days, but we appreciate a couple of minutes for us. Dave, thank you so much.
Thanks, Amy. No more four overtimes, though, for me. Please, please. But appreciate it. Thanks.
You know what I discovered? I have NBA TV on in my studio. And as I'm talking to Dave, I'm looking up and I'm realizing the league isn't even replaying game number three. That's how bad it was. They're actually replaying game number two. They don't even want people to see game number three. And what did we tell you about the possibility of there being a very large gap between the end of the conference finals and the start of the NBA finals? The NBA finals do not begin before June 1st. They cannot begin before June 1st. So if you're looking at the schedule as it is right now, let's just say for the sake of argument, both series go five. Celtics win one, the Lakers win one. That would mean that game number five, if right now it's listed as if necessary for Miami and Boston, would be on Thursday. Game number five of the West would be on Wednesday. These series would be over on Wednesday, Thursday, and you'd have a full week. Now, it is Memorial Day weekend. Can you believe that? Can you believe we're going into Memorial Day weekend, the unofficial start of summer? My mom's out of school at the end of this week, crazy enough. I was teasing my fourth and fifth graders at church on Sunday morning and telling them that my mom would be out of school this week, that she was already done. They were exclaiming, "No way! Oh my gosh!" And then I told them, "Well, she does go back in early August," and their faces, "Oh no, no, it's all about." So yes, there is a trade-off. But a lot of schools are actually nearly done in the South. I know in Atlanta, it's the same kind of a situation in Georgia. So anyway, this is Memorial Day weekend. So a lot of people are out and about traveling, blah, blah, blah. We will be here, by the way, on both Sunday and Monday night. But if these series are over on Wednesday, Thursday, that's being generous right now. It could be a full week before we have the NBA finals. Oh, no. That's a disaster for the NBA, in my opinion. I suppose if the series is good, it won't matter. People will flock back to their TVs and radios. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page, we put up a hint of what we did as a super cool experience on Saturday night. So you can check that out. Everything that we do comes with snacks, by the way. So check that out on both Twitter and Facebook. It's after.
Hammock. Check. Arnold Palmer. Check. Motorized solar shades. Yes, please. Get your home and patio spring ready with brand new custom window coverings from Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the easiest way to upgrade your home with custom window treatments. You can even stay in the hammock while Blinds.com handles the install. Just click installation at checkout and relax while we do the work for you. No matter how many window treatments you order, installation is always one low cost. Need help choosing? Talk to a Blinds.com design expert for free to help you make the best selection from classic shutters to outdoor roller shades and more. With over 25 million windows covered, you can rest easy with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. See why Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings with over 40,000 five-star reviews. Shop Blinds.com and save 40% off selected products. 40% off selected products at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Attention listeners.
I'm pleased to announce that Radio Rental is returning for another installment of Terrifying Tales. If you happen to be new here, I'm Terry Carnation, current proprietor of the Radio Rental Video Store, where I possess a collection of the scariest true stories you've ever heard, all told by real people. Mark your calendars for... Oh, apparently it's available right now. I'm a little late with this promo.
Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Jokic back on top to Brown. Bruce Brown, right side, Murray's wide open. Three-pointer's good. His first bucket of the second half. And the Nuggets lead it by 8, 102-94. High right side is Nikola Jokic. Jokic picks up the dribble, shoots a three. Got it right back! 111-101. Denver back in the lead by 10. Jokic has it up the right sideline. He gets a pick there from Jamal Murray. Bounce pass to Jamal in the low block.
Oh,
double team. Layup good! 12-point lead for Denver.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Don't jump. Boston sports fans, don't jump. There is life, even in those years in which you don't win a championship. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, crazy. I don't want to say finishes, but because they're not done yet. The Celtics are not done. And at some point, a team will come back from 3-0 down. We just don't know who it will be. Just like at some point, eventually, a 16 seed was going to topple a 1 in the NCAA tournament. It's happened twice now in the past 5 years, right? Going back to 2018 and again now in 23. So it will happen at some stretch in history where we see a team rally from being 3 games down in an NBA playoff series. I don't know that the Celtics or the Lakers are capable, and I really don't know that they can do it against their current opponents, the Heat or the Nuggets. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Jason Kosmicki with the play-by-play from Denver Nuggets Radio. A 13-0 run in the fourth quarter. This was a relatively close game, or at least one in which the Lakers were able to reel the Nuggets in multiple times. They'd be up by double figures. The Lakers would drag them back. But here they are on the verge of being swept out of the playoffs. And I think it's pretty evident that in the late stages of this game, again, on Saturday night, as the Nuggets are scoring 13 points in a row, the Lakers stars are tired. They're tired. It's a lot of mileage. It's a lot of games. It's a lot of minutes on the floor, and it's two older dudes. Now, Anthony Davis isn't as old as LeBron. As much as LeBron has been able to defy age for so long with his training regimen and his commitment to not just health, but his commitment to diet and to exercise. However, age is still age, and he's got a lot of age on his legs and his arms and his body. There's fatigue, and it's pretty obvious. Meanwhile, you've got a deeper Nuggets team that has more bodies that can be thrown out there. A 13-0 run by the Nuggets in the fourth quarter is really the deciding factor. And Mike Malone, ever looking for an edge, he gets in the weeds and he gets so proud of his guys.
The greatest stat for this night was 30 assists, only 6 turnovers. On the road against that team who you knew was going to be very desperate and urgent, we did not beat ourselves tonight. So I'm proud of our group, but you know, we're not celebrating. We have to get another win and to close this thing out.
Now, even with Jamal Murray hot out of the locker room, I mean, he was on fire. Another one of those incredible halves by him where you're just reminded how good he was before he got hurt and how good it is to see him play like this again. This is what the Nuggets have waited for. This is what the Nuggets were missing. And it came at a time that really you can't underscore how important his contributions, because Nikola Jokic, who did not have a triple-double, that's actually news now for Jokic, doesn't have a triple-double in the playoffs. He was in foul trouble. So they needed Jamal Murray because Jokic was in foul trouble. It's kind of funny to hear Jamal's response to the question of how he stepped up with Jokic, how the team stepped up with Jokic having to ride the bench a bunch.
We got a lot of guys that can come in and impact the game. So I just, you know, KCP did a great job. Bruce, I mean, everybody that played today did a great job. Jokic didn't even, to me, he didn't even struggle in the first. He just was in foul trouble. And he wasn't really getting the ball because I was having it. So, you know, I think he'll have a stronger start next game.
I never doubted my team, and I know they're capable. You see, we have some really good players that can step up in the right moment, and that's what we did.
Jokic finishes with 24 points and 8 assists, so an off night for the two-time MVP. Meanwhile, Jamal Murray on fire out of the locker room, 37 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and 2 steals. And remember, Denver's done being pushed around. So when you hear Jamal, think back to their matchup against the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals in 2020, in the bubble. This is going back to Orlando. You recognize these guys, they're like AI. They're like artificial intelligence. They've been accumulating intel and using it to their advantage.
You know, you can learn things in your wins, and you can learn things in your losses. I remember the Lakers were in the bubble. They were a big team. So that was a big line. Even when we got to stop, it was tough for us to rebound. And I think they were up at the half and rebounding. We just knew this is kind of the same thing. You know, I know we were making shots in the first half, but we can't let them get second chance opportunities. We got 5 more to go, and the Lakers are in a way. And they're going to do everything in their power to come back and fight. And they're not going to just lay down and let us beat them, you know, on their home floor. So, you know, we know next game is going to be another test. They're going to come more aggressive. So we know it's coming, and we just got to stay locked in and know that we can do it. And we have full belief in that. And like I said, we got 5 more to go.
We have the ability and the confidence to go on the road and beat really good basketball teams. I did see poise tonight. You know, foul trouble, Nikola going out. There wasn't a panic. It was, okay, he's out. That means somebody else has to step up. And I think that's something that team has done time and time again. I know it's cliche, but that next man up mentality has really served us well over the years.
Not just that, but they have guys who can step up. Okay, it's one thing to have the mentality that guys can step up, but if you don't have the talent, you don't have the ability, you don't have guys who can, in fact, come off the bench and instantly contribute, well, it's just lip service. But they do. The Nuggets do. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, now he's in the starting lineup, but he contributes 17 points in this one. Michael Porter, he can be streaky at times. He had 14 in this one. Off the bench, another big game from Bruce Brown, who not only loves the defense and loves the hard-nosed aspect of this series, but also loves to jaw. He has 15 points. Now, they're not going deep in terms of the number of bodies off the bench, but what they are doing is getting contributions, quality minutes from everyone who does play in the game. In fact, they're only getting, really going 7 deep now with Jeff Green and Bruce Brown. But the Nuggets are sitting pretty. They're in a great spot. What about the Lakers? I didn't realize this until I was doing some research. Only twice in LeBron's career has one of his teams ever been swept in a playoff series. And actually, both times came in the NBA Finals. The Spurs in 07, we were referring to that series when we were talking about Eric Spoelstra and the Miami Heat. So they were swept in 07 and against the Golden State Warriors in 2018. But both in the NBA Finals, not in the Western Conference Finals, not in the West playoffs, or excuse me, he was in the East for a while, not in his own conference has he ever been swept out of the postseason. And so now here they are, down 0-3 and facing an impossible situation.
Got to get one. It's one at a time. You know, just focus on game 4, and you know, that's all you can really think about. I mean, obviously this game is over and done with. We had some opportunities, but we didn't come through. So just get ready for Monday, and you know, just got to get one. And it's one game series for us. So every game counts, obviously.
Against the really, really good teams, we're a really, really good team. And I've seen how our defense, you know, has put people in awkward positions. And caused them to self-destruct at times, whether it was finishing up the regular season or in these playoffs. And, you know, the defense is, once you get to this point, you know, what's conference finals, finals, the defense gets dialed up that much more. And so you can't have self-inflicted wounds, whether it's turnovers, whether it's giving up offensive rebounds, silly fouls. That helps them get to the bonus quicker. I mean, I just think those things, you got to be extremely, extremely disciplined.
Well, they haven't been, but it's not just that. They don't have a margin for error. Against the Nuggets, you don't have a margin for error. It's kind of funny to hear what Jeff Green had to say after Sunday's practice. So they're getting ready now for game four on Monday night, which, of course, will be here on the air afterwards. He was asked about LeBron James and what he's done over the last 20 years in the context of, hey, we could actually sweep them out of the playoffs. And Jeff Green, who's a veteran, guys, in his mid-30s, his response is, bleep, that's LeBron, man. But the idea, if you're the Nuggets, is no hope. You have to maintain the killer instinct. And there have been times in the past where this team has not been mentally tough, would not have the killer instinct. They played more like they were happy to be there. Well, that's not these Denver Nuggets. I said it last week and I'm going to keep saying it. I keep retweeting it on my own account. The Denver Nuggets are done being pushed around. It took a few years. They're done. But the seeds of this were planted going back to the bubble in 2020. Do you know that the Nuggets have never made an NBA Finals in their past? Not only have they not won a championship, they've never even reached the NBA Finals. I love history. And they're on the verge of history.
You put that in your pipe, you smoke it.
Plus, Mike Malone is on fire, fire. Same kind of fire for the Panthers and the Heat right now. Find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, and then our Facebook page, too. Coming up, Brooks Koepka. He's back on top as a winner of the PGA Championship. Three of those PGAs. It's called the Wanamaker Trophy, I think. I think that's the name of it. Don't ask me how I know the name of a championship trophy in golf. But I think it's the Wanamaker. Jay gives me the thumbs up.
It is indeed.
He Googled it. Three Wanamaker trophies, plus his wife is pregnant, and they're expecting their first baby, which is cool. You could see the emotion on Brooks' face as he and his caddy are hugging on the 18th green on Sunday. A lot of pent-up emotion there. Because he wondered if this was ever going to be reality, if this would ever be possible again with all the injuries. And makes more sense now why he would defect to live golf. You could say it's just because of the money, but it's not. He can still compete in the majors, number one. Number two, it's less stress on his knee. It's less stress on his physical body, and that felt like the right play because he wasn't sure he'd ever be the same Brooks Koepka again. As I was watching it on Sunday, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, if I'm Brooks, it makes so much sense. He wasn't sure he'd ever be able to play pain-free. It wasn't just the knee, it was the wrist. He's had 2+ years, and he admits, I wasn't sure I'd ever be able to compete for a major championship again. So when LIV comes calling, and you don't know if you're ever going to be top of the world again, well, yeah, it makes sense that you would jump to a tour that not only pays you money up front, but also asks you to participate in fewer tournaments. I mean, there's something to that too. Allows you to compete on a team. There's something to that too. It was a revelation for me as I'm watching him and thinking about what he's been through over the past couple years. All right, so you hear from Brooks, plus the story of Michael Block. You do not.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.
Want to miss this? No, not a blockhead.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It's super disappointing, right? Didn't play good enough to win. Hit some shots where I also didn't feel like I got some good breaks. I mean, that ball to sit there on 9, on 4 and 6, hit some good shots. He just ended up in some terrible spots where it was quite difficult. Didn't feel like I did too much wrong, but that's how golf goes sometimes.
It's all the way back. Koepka conquers the PGA at Oak Hill.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, our friend Jim Nantz on CBS. It's weird to hear golf on the radio or TV, but it's on the radio now after it was on TV because you have to be able to visualize it. But Jim Nantz is great, and it's a weird end clip of Brooks Koepka. There was a lot more to it if you were watching it, because I was watching on CBS on Sunday afternoon. And once Brooks got to 10 under, there really wasn't a whole lot of chance that Scottie Scheffler or Victor Hovland, who had kind of backpedaled the last couple holes, they weren't going to catch him. And so this was not a stressful walk up the 18th, but certainly one with a ton of emotion. And he was emotional after this victory at the PGA Championship, his third, his fifth major win with a couple of years in between. His run was derailed by injuries, and then he made the jump to LIV Golf. Maybe he was carrying some of that pressure, but I think in this moment, the walk up 18, it was more about the fact that he didn't know if he'd ever get back to this point again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Maybe we'll hear from Bryson DeChambeau, who actually said this was a major validation for LIV Golf. And we can find that, Jay, at some point. That'd be kind of interesting. Because Bryson and Brooks, remember, they were at odds. They had that faux feud going on in 2021 or 20 and 21, remember? But now they're BFFs. In fact, Bryson was there to give Brooks a hug as he was walking off the 18th and heading to the scorers. Well, it's not really a scorers table. The scorers building, the official PGA headquarters. Koepka's coming off another LIV Golf win as well in Orlando. That goes back to April. Then he tied for second at the Masters, and you hear him disappointed in how he had played to wrap up the Masters. I mean, he had the lead, and he wasn't able to close it out and get a green jacket. But now here he is, second major of the year, and his fifth win overall. His wife wasn't there, by the way. I'm not sure if you all look for the spouses, but his wife wasn't there because she is pregnant with their first child, though he spoke to her right away.
I've called my wife, and that's it. That's the only person I'm really interested in talking to right now. I haven't texted. My boys are here, so I'm just hanging with them and talking to my wife, and I can feel my phone buzzing as we're even talking right now, so I don't know. Last I looked, I think there was like 600 text messages, so
yeah.
I'll go through them.
What are the chances one of those is from Tiger Woods? What are the chances one of those is from the commissioner of the PGA, Jay Monahan? No doubt, there was a lot of emotion as he was releasing it all out there. Because how much did he doubt himself physically over the last couple of years when his knee pain wouldn't allow him to compete? Did he ever think he would get back to championship form?
It's very hard to explain. It's just, you can't fathom how difficult it is just to get going. I mean, it was a lot worse than I let on to you guys, to let on to everybody. Like I said, I think maybe only 5-6 people really know the extent of it. And it's just, it was hard. I mean, cold weather, it's achy. The swelling didn't go down till maybe a couple months ago. So that's almost, 2 years? It's been a long road, Look, that's who I am. I'm open and honest. I know I seem like this big, bad, tough guy on the golf course that doesn't smile, doesn't do anything. But if you catch me off the golf course, I'll let you know what's going on. And I'm happy they got that side. right? That's truly me. And some people might hate it. Some people might dog it. But at the end of the day, it's just me.
Very open and honest, Brooks Koepka, though he's right. On the course, he looks like he's impervious to emotion or to pressure or really to feeling what's happening there, the ebbs and the flows. But clearly, this was a triumphant return. As Jim Nantz said on CBS, he is back. Speaking of triumph, there was a story that was far more improbable, number one, but number two, far more dramatic if you were watching the 15th hole on Sunday in this American teaching pro, is what they're called, Michael Block.
At the 15th. The fairy tale story. Gets better. A hole in one for Michael Block.
So Jim Nantz on CBS, Michael Block didn't even know the ball went in. In fact, Rory comes over to give him a hug, and Block says, why? Why are you giving me a hug? He's paired with Rory McIlroy. And he thought the ball was close, but he didn't realize it had actually gone in the hole on the fly. It didn't bounce. It didn't hit the green. It literally went right into the hole on the fly. It was an unforgettable moment, a once-in-a-lifetime moment for this American Club pro from Mission Viejo, California, with a hole-in-one on this 15th at Oak Hill. And such a cool reaction from the crowd, who did not stop cheering his entire way up the par three. And then as he bends over and grabs the ball out of the cup, he's overcome by emotion. Now, he started the final round tied for eighth, which in and of itself is incredible. He's not a PGA Tour professional. He's a teaching professional. He's a club pro. These guys are allowed to get in if they qualify for the PGA Championship, but they're not expected to be on the leaderboard. He finally realized he'd aced the hole, and then that's when the emotion poured out. But you thought that was emotional. Following his round, again, the fans recognizing this accomplishment by him as he walks up the 18th green and drops a putt with Rory McIlroy on the 18th green. His son was watching him from California. He was doing an interview on CBS and he could barely keep it together.
It's amazing. I'm living a dream. I'm making sure that I enjoy this moment. I've learned that after my 46 years of life that it's not going to get better than this. There's no way. No chance in hell. So I'm going to enjoy this, and thank you.
And all of a sudden, the opportunities are everywhere for Michael Block. So because he got up and down on the 18th, he finished it in tie for 15th. Okay, so there's rules about the PGA Championship. If you are a club pro and you finish in a tie for 15th, you are allowed to play in the following PGA Championship. So he's already qualified for Valhalla in Louisville next year. And now, because he's playing so well, he'll get a chance to qualify for next month's U.S. Open. That's actually in L.A. So it would be amazing for him to be able to qualify there. And then he's getting a sponsor exemption for the Charles Schwab Challenge next weekend. So this is what happens when you drop a hole in one on the 15th on Sunday at the PGA Championship. You qualify for the PGA next year. Other tournaments want you around. Congratulations to American Michael Block. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Surgeons keep our hearts beating. They do the amazing, help save lives, and so can you. Your CSL plasma donation can help create 24 critical life-saving medicines that can give Grandpa the chance for his heart to swell when he meets his new grandson, or give a bride the chance for her heart to skip a beat on her wedding day. Every plasma donation helps more than you know. Do the amazing. Help save lives. Donate today at your local CSL Plasma Center and be rewarded for your generosity.